Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. This is actually Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Pastor Lutz today. And Pastor Lutz is out and about today, unable to be in here. And so he asked me to sit in for him. And so I'll be with you here until 1:30. And then at 1:30, of course, my program, Live with Pastor Al, will come on. And I hope you'll stay tuned for that as well. But it's good to be with you today. And hopefully Brother Lutz will be with us next week. And actually in a couple of weeks, I think about 2 weeks or so, he's going to be filling in for me. So we'll trade off like that. But at any rate, welcome to the program today. And I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Also host Live with Pastor Al, like I said, follows at 1:30. And then Late Night Live with Pastor Al that comes on Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight. You can find out more about me at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we're going to get into some programs here, and of course, Pastor Lutz is the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and we'll have more information about that coming up, service times, location, and everything, how to contact them at the end of the program, so stay tuned for that as well. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program and use it for your glory. And pray again that you would help us to be an encouragement and a help and a blessing to somebody through the program today. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to talk something about here today. We see happening around us an assault on truth. And I've been looking at this and reading some things dealing with truth in the scriptures, and the way truth is being treated in the world today. And just to get us started off, I want to read from here in the Gospel of John, chapter 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 18. Jesus has been before the high priest and all that, and then they wanted to crucify him, but they had to have Pilate sign off on it. And so they sent him to Pilate, and Pilate begins to interrogate him a little bit. And as they go back and forth, Jesus is asked by Pilate, actually here in John 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So he's talking about truth here. And Pilate responds here in verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault in him, no fault at all." And this question here, what is truth? Now, this is something that's debated, and there's lots of definitions of truth that are out there in the world today. And some things are easy to understand that it's true. Some things are objective and verifiable. For instance, 1 + 1 = 2. You can see that. If you have one item and you set another one next to it, you can obviously look at it. There's two. 1 + 1 = 2. That's an objective and a verifiable truth. It's not subjective. Well, I picked up this one apple, and it felt like it was a ton of apples, so I'm going to call this one apple actually 5,000 apples, and this other apple felt like it was only half an apple, so you can't say that it's 5,000 and a half. No, it's verifiable. You can look, you can see it. It's objective. It doesn't matter what you felt like. It doesn't matter whether you thought the one apple weighed more than it should or less than it should. It's objective and it's verifiable. You can also know and experimentally prove truth things. For instance, here's a good example. Tom, drawing a blank here on the Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, that's what I was trying to think. I was trying to think of his name there, and all I could think of was Samuel Clemens. Mark Twain once said, a cat will only jump on a hot stove once. See, he learns his lesson. And See, there's a truth there that's noble and experimental. I'm not saying throw a cat on a hot stove, but if somebody tells you not to put your hand on a hot stove and you don't believe it, well, you can go over to the hot stove and you can put your hand on it. I actually once saw a young man do that in a store when I was in school in Colorado. It was in the wintertime, and there was this store that I was in. It was kind of an outdoor store, and it was heated by a big potbelly stove in the middle of the store. And it was pumping out some heat. And this little boy had come in, and he was told not to handle things, and he was putting his hand on everything, and went over and he put his hand on that hot stove. Well, he jerked his hand off pretty quick. And I don't think he did it again. I think he learned his lesson there. You can know something is true, and you can experiment about it. You don't believe that the hot stove is going to burn your hand? Well, put your hand on it. That's the experiment, right? And you find, guess what? It burns. And you jerk your hand off pretty quick. That's noble and experimental truth. There's some other truths that are self-evident. I exist. You exist. The universe around us exists. We know that the universe exists because we exist. If the universe did not exist, we would not exist. It's pretty self-evident. And if the universe didn't exist, then we wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be having this conversation, this discussion. But the universe is self-evident that it exists. It's just there. And so that's sort of a self-evident truth. But we, for most of human history, have generally agreed that things are truthful if you can verify them in some way, if you can know them, if you can objectively verify them, that if you can know them, experimentally prove them, if things are self-evident. We've accepted this down through history. In fact, the word that we have for truth embodies this concept of faithfulness, this idea that it's reliable, that it's consistent thing that's knowable. And if you go back into the word truth in some of the dictionary meanings and everything, the Oxford Dictionary of English gives this definition for true. It says it's an adjective, being in accordance with fact or reality. It's accurate or exact, as in it was a true depiction. Loyal or faithful, it means that. And coming from the old English word, I'm going to probably mess up the pronunciation here, but it's along the lines of tree, it means steadfast, loyal. They also define truth as a noun, the quality or state of being true, that which is in accordance with true or in accordance with fact or reality. And of course, it comes from the old English word truth that means faithfulness or consistency. And this is a good insight into our word truth today, and truth as it appears in the King James Bible. Now, truth appears several times in the Bible, and the Hebrew, ironically, doesn't have an independent word for truth, but it does have the concept of truth in the way that it uses the language here, and it's basically coming from the idea that truth is joined with the notion of dependability. And that's a way that we use the word truth sometimes today too, is dependable. And you can see in the King James Bible that in the Old Testament, the word truth is appears in about just over 90% of the times that these words, the Hebrew words referring to dependability and such not are there. And faithfulness is another good umbrella term there, dependableness. And so I just wanted to run through some of those things, because the problem that we're running into today is that we have a group of people today that are diverting from the truth. And they're saying that truth is not something that you can verify, but that truth is, or that's objective. But truth is something that's very subjective. What's true for you may not be true for me. What's true for me may not be true for you. And so everybody then begins to have their own type of truth. Well, there are some problems with that. I'm in the studio right now. This microphone is either on or it's off. It's one of the two. It's not both. Now, somebody might say, no, I think it's off. And I say, I think it's on. Well, it's verifiable. And somebody say, well, I don't want to hear you. So therefore, to me, it's off. Well, then they're making a decision that they want to ignore reality. And guess what? That's what's happening today. You can see it in some of the diversity, inclusiveness, and equity, that's the good word, huh? Equitable training that's going on today. Some of the critical race theory that's going on today. And by way of a shameless plug, we will be talking about critical race theory and some of that in the next half hour with a guest. We'll be talking about that. But so I encourage you to stay tuned for that. But a lot of people are trying to say today that 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 unless you want it to. If somebody else thinks that it equals 3 or 0.5 or something else entirely, it's perfectly fine. Everybody gets their own truth. And see, they're like Pilate when he said, what is truth? Well, that's a problem. Pilate said, what is truth? Well, the Bible is clear on several things about what truth is. Jesus, in John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ was stating that he is the embodiment of truth. And he is the embodiment of truth because he is God, and there is no untruthfulness in God. God cannot lie. He's not like a man. He cannot lie. And so as a result, Jesus Christ as God is the embodiment of truth. Now the devil, on the other hand, the Bible says he is the father of lies. Of course, the devil lies, and in him, the Bible says, is no truth, because he is the rejection of the embodiment of the rejection of truth. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that means that when he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, that was a true statement. It was a true statement. Jesus spoke words of truth. And when we look at John chapter 1, where it talks about the Word was made flesh, in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And notice what he says here, full of grace and truth. He's full of truth. And so Jesus Christ is the truth. He is full of truth. And he, of course, speaks the truth when he appeared before John in the Isle of Patmos in Revelation and gave him the revelation of things to come toward the end of his message to John. He says in Revelation 21, verse 5, he says, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And I'm about the words that he gave, they're true and faithful. And so we understand God's words are true. That brings us to John chapter 17, verse 17, and a very important truth that Jesus speaks, where he says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so again, when we bring this back to his discussion with Pilate, when Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And when we embrace Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we realize that he is who he says he is, and we put our faith in him, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, we recognize our own sinful nature, we come to grips with the truth, don't we? It's certainly objectively verifiable that we have a sin nature. And when we realize that the wages of sin is death, there's a punishment for sin, we realize that we have the payment for sin, which was made by Jesus Christ when he went to the cross, and he who knew no sin became sin for us, and he shed his blood to pay for our sins. And of course, the Bible says without the redemption or the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. And so we have the shedding of Christ's blood as the payment for our sin. When we believe that he did that, we're in accordance with the truth. We're believing the truth of the gospel message. We're believing the truth of God's word. God's word is truth, Jesus said. And we're believing that Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we realize that, we find new life in Christ, and we realize he, of course, is the way, the truth, and the life. We realize that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And let's come back to that one again in John 14:6. There's so many times where people say, well, different ways for people to get to heaven. You know, the Buddhist can get there their way. The Mormon or the Muslim can get there their way. The Christian gets there their way. Every way is different. Well, here's again where we come back to this idea of truth. If you could get to heaven, now think about this for a minute. If you could get to heaven in a multitude of ways, and then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Would that be a true statement? Well, obviously, that would not be a true statement. That would be logically inconsistent. If he said that no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and he knows that there's another way which a Muslim could get to heaven, or another way in which somebody else could get to heaven, then he wasn't saying something that was true, was he? And in which case, he would not be the truth, because he would have been saying something that was untrue. And so as a consequence, Jesus would not be the truth. If he's not the truth, then that brings into question whether he's the way and the life either. And if people can get to heaven in another way, if there's another name, there's none under name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If that's not a true statement, then Jesus is not the truth. And if Jesus is not the truth, then he cannot be God, because God is truth. And when we think about this, people think, well, you know, that's being discriminatory towards other religions. No, it's just telling the truth. Truth is objective. It's not subjective. Many times people will say, but how can these people who are sincere, how can these people who are so sincere believing what they believe is true, and how can they be wrong if they die and they stand before God? How can he send them out into the lake of fire for all eternity? And that's just not fair. That's just not right. Well, subjectively, yeah, it doesn't seem good and acceptable. But God didn't ask what was good and acceptable to of you or me when he set up the way of salvation. What was good and acceptable to God is that you must be perfect and that you must be without sin, that you must be completely without sin. So who can be that? Well, if we did what was good and acceptable in that respect, then none of us would make it to heaven. And that's the problem. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Part of his glory is his absolute perfection, his absolute holiness, his absolute truth. And that's why Titus, when he said in Titus, Paul writing to Titus in chapter 1, verse 2, said, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. If God could tell something that's not true, if Jesus as God in the flesh could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me, and there's another way, and he would know it because he's God, then he would know that he lied, then he is not truth, and he's not God. See, a lot of times people think, well, you know, I'll just accept Jesus as a good teacher. Well, if Jesus made these claims and he knows that he's not true, then what's a good teacher doing teaching something that he knows is not true in order to make himself look better. Is that really a good teacher? No, Jesus is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? He was looking at truth personified. When you want to know what truth is, there's a lot of things that we want to know what's true, what's not. Get a hold of the Bible. The Bible, God says that his word is truth. And so how are you going to find out truth? You're going to read the word of truth, which is the word of God, who's the God of truth. And so when we do this, we can get an understanding of truth. And when we do these things, John said in John chapter 8, in verse 31, 32, he said, Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, we're running out of time here, and our half hour is quickly coming to an end, and we have another program coming at 1:30. I hope you'll stay tuned for that. But I hope you'll give some thought to this. What is truth? What is truth? Pilate asked that question. People have been asking it. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. It's objective. It's verifiable. It's knowable. It's experiential. It is self-evident in many respects. There's many more things we could say about truth, but as we run out of time here, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be with you here today. And I want to thank Pastor Lutz for allowing me to sit in for him. And again, he'll be back with us next week. And in a couple of weeks, he'll be sitting in for me as well. I got about 2 minutes left to go here. I thought we had about a minute. I was watching the clock there. All right. Just to give you a couple more things that you can look at with this concept of truth here. Let me give you another couple of verses here that when we look at what Jesus did, he told the truth, and it was recognized. Mark chapter 12, verse 32, it says, The scribe said to him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And when we think about that, that's a truth. There is only one God. So if Jesus claimed to be God, he would not have said the truth, would he? And if he claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, then that wouldn't be true if Jesus wasn't God. Well, there's many more things that we can look at with that, with regards to that. But again, pay attention to the information at the end of the program here today. You'll have the information for Pastor Lutz Church, North Coast Baptist Church, coming up. And I certainly want to thank Pastor Lutz for allowing me to sit in for him today. And again, if you're out there on the east side and he's in Lakewood, look them up. And then, of course, I'll be coming up next at 1:30. We're going to be talking about critical race theory and some important things there. And, of course, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find us south of Cleveland, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And we have a Bible study tonight, 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, informal Bible study. You get to bring the questions, and we talk about God's Word and questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And then stay tuned at 2 o'clock. Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid will be joining us. Always a blessing to hear him. But thanks again for listening. Stay tuned, and God bless.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.